Revelation chapter number 8. I'm trying to stay on pace where we're basically covering a chapter a week. And I think we'll be able to, Lord willing, maintain that. In fact, I'd like to cover most of the seven trumpets today, which would actually take us through chapter 8, which is 13 verses, and then through chapter 9. The first four trumpets is found in chapter 8. The next two, the fifth and the sixth trumpet, found in Revelation chapter number 9. And again, this for the Christian, I think, should be used to motivate us to win souls. We've had a wonderful summer. I'm so pleased at the outcome. I think it's in the bullets and some of the numbers on our summer soul winning campaign. And thank you, church, for being faithful. I don't know if we've ever had a summer where we've seen more people saved than we've had in this past summer. The Lord's just blessed it. He really has. We've had had 72 saved just in Vacation Bible School. And then I know that we've had 40 or 50 other people saved in the other ministries throughout the summer and soul winning and all of that. And that's really quite astounding. But here's one of the motivations. That's why I share that with you. I believe that when we see somebody saved, they're not just saved from hell. I believe that we are preaching to the rapture generation. I think the Lord's return is that close. I think these little children that you see get saved, think about that. The things we're talking about today, they don't have to go through now. That's what this thing's all about. I was telling somebody the other day, they were talking to me, and I was trying to be an encouragement to them, and they were struggling some in their Christian life. And I said, I'm going to tell you what I believe. You can say that my philosophy is oversimplistic. But number one, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Help me out, church. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. You start following people, looking at people, watching people, you're going to get off track. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you keep the pursuit of lost souls the primary mission of your life. Because, by the way, if we are to be like Jesus, he summarized his life's purpose in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus and you'll make the focal point of your life the pursuit of lost souls, your prayer, your efforts, if you'll do those two things, most everything else in your life will fall into place. And so let's let the book of Revelation hit those two very important reset buttons in our life. Because, folks, we've got to keep our eyes to the eastern sky. I think Jesus is coming soon. And I think that we need to stay busy doing what we've done for the last 40 years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and that's making the winning of souls the priority one of this church. In Revelation chapter 1, we are going to see the seventh seal open, which contains the seven trumpets. We gave some of the introduction of this last week, so I'll just skim over the first six verses. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Again, we see silence. I think silence born out of awe, silence born from prayerfulness. And then we see this angel. We mentioned these seven angels in verse 2 through 5, which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Summarization: seven angels are given seven trumpets. Another angel stands at the altar with a golden censer. Incense is offered to mingle to God, mingled with the prayers of all the saints. Maybe for the first time in the history of the world, every Christian is praying, and every Christian is praying the same thing. There's power in united prayer. The angel takes the censer, fills it with fire of the altar, and casts it to the earth. The result is voices and thunderings and lightnings, and an earthquake shakes the earth. And then we see in verse number 7, the first angel begins to sound. Verse number 6 and 7, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now, these trumpets are pretty self-explanatory. We're not going to do a lot of in-depth explanation except to read them and hopefully, truly think about them. I'd like you to not just read them. I want you to read them and imagine that you're still on this earth when this is going on. Can you imagine this? Folks, when God begins to pour out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world, he does so first mingled with some mercy. And by the time we get to the vials, as we mentioned last week, there will be no mercy mingled with that wrath. But notice here, some mercy. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now, I want you to imagine the earth with a third part of the trees which are burnt up. Most of us understand that we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. The Lord has created this earth in such a way so that the plant life, the green plant life, does just the opposite. So the green grass and the green trees are producing the oxygen that we need and consuming the carbon dioxide and turning it into oxygen. So what is happening here? Think about that. All of a sudden, a third of that is gone. The first angel sounds the trumpet, hail and fire mingled with blood. How many of you have ever been witness to a pretty intense hailstorm? Okay. We've seen them, most of you. Nobody's ever seen hail. Okay. All right, good. You're awake. Your hands move. Good. All right. Respond to the preacher. It's a good habit, you know. And can you imagine hearing, as we do, we usually hear it hitting the air conditioners first that's sticking out the windows of our house. Bam, 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 bam. And we'll look at each other and think, okay, somebody didn't like last Sunday's message and they're out throwing rocks at the house. And then, no, maybe not. Maybe that's not what's going on. And we usually, almost without fail, it never, I think, has hailed at our house, and we just sat there and looked at each other and said, oh, hail. And, you know, what do? You get up and you go on the front porch. You look out a window. You want to see it because it's an unusual occurrence. And I haven't seen, I think, massive. Sometimes you see these things. People say hailstones the size of golf balls. I've never seen that. I hope I don't see that, especially if my car is sitting out in the middle of it. I hope I don't want to see that. I have been to areas after a storm where there has been that type of a hailstorm, and people show me the damage that it did to their cars and their vehicles and their homes. And now, folks, you've kind of got that pictured in your mind. Now think about this. You hear the hail come, and you go out, but it's not just hail. In the midst of the hail, think about hail is made out of ice. And yet in the midst of hail, there's fire and also there's mingled with blood. And you know what? The world's going to understand some things are beginning to happen that has never happened in the history of the world. God is not just sending judgment. He's sending divine judgment. He's sending unusual judgment. And can you imagine the weather men reporting that on the evening news? And then in verse number 8, the second trumpet, the second angel sounded, and as it were, think about this, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Now, most of you in your mind can picture that and probably imagine what this thing may be. It's described as a great mountain. It's described as if it's burning with fire, and it comes from the heavens and lands in one of the oceans, one of the seas of this world. Most of us would say, well, that's some type of a meteorite. And if you've studied these things, there's plenty of them out there. And by the way, God created one of them, and God has created one of them and put it on a course so that during this time of the great tribulation period, it's already, I think, out there. I think it's already on course, and I think it's already targeted exactly where it's going to hit. And God flung it out there, and nothing's going to move it off its course. Notice the result of that. The third part of the sea became blood. But not only that, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a lot of times we've had, of course, in our recent recollection, recent memory, the great tsunami that hit, and we were witness to the devastation of that tsunami and all of that. But folks, can you imagine the result of a meteorite that is described as the size of a mountain hitting this earth? It's going to wipe out a third of the creatures killed them. It's going to turn a third of the sea to blood, and a third of the ships are going to be destroyed. But again, folks, notice it's not everything. We're still seeing judgment mingled with some measure of mercy. The third trumpet, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now this first great mountain falls into the sea, so it affects the salt water, the ocean water. This is a great star, the Bible says, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell in the third part of the rivers, upon the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Now we're talking about drinking water. I mean, folks, you know what? A person can go some measure of time without food, a lot longer than you can without water, but you're not going very long without water. And here we have the star again. Isn't it interesting? The Bible even says that God calls all the stars by name. He has named all the stars. Well, he's named one of them. And he named it when he created it. And he set it on course. And you know what? It's going to be a part of the judgment. And not only will the third part of the waters become wormwood, and that simply means bitter, but also the men, many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And so we see God unleashing his judgment upon a Christ-rejecting world. In verse number 12, we get into the fourth trumpet, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I beheld, and lo, an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And so we're kind of at the almost halfway point here. Four of the seven has sounded, and there it follows that a warning concerning the next three. There are three woes that are presented here. We're going to read about the first woe here in just a few minutes. But where we pause here after the fourth trumpet, let's look at this fourth trumpet first of all. The third part of the sun is smitten. Now think about that. The third part of the sun is smitten. Now God literally extinguishes or diminishes or dims a third part of the sun. And also a third part of the moon and the stars. Well, if the sun is diminished in brightness, then the moon, of course, is diminished in brightness because, folks, the moon is not on fire. It just reflects the sunlight of the sun. But God also then dims the stars. Now, that means that a third part of the day is extinguished. And a third part of the night contains no light whatsoever. Now, I think there's a spiritual aspect to this, but also there's a very practical thing that happens. August, I wrote down, I just picked a day here on August 11th. It was 13 hours and 46 minutes of daylight on August 11th. That's the amount of daylight that should be on August 11th, 13 hours and 46 minutes. That would be diminished down to 9 hours and 15 minutes. But I think that here's the principle. The principle of darkness increasing. Now, sometimes in the midst of these given one after another, we forget that there's other things going on. We're going to focus in on that in a couple chapters. We're going to stop and we're going to take a step back and realize that there's reasons that God's sending these judgments. We're going to begin to study the activity of the Antichrist. Listen, when God calls out his chosen people, God calls out the saved in that rapture. You know what, folks? The preservation, the salt and the light that was preserving this, the Christians that were causing God to withhold judgment, the Holy Spirit presence taken, and literally for 7 years, for the most part, the devil is turned loose and he becomes the power of this earth. And we're gonna study and realize I want to kind of go back through this, because I believe when we stop here in a couple chapters and we begin to talk about who is the Antichrist and what is this false prophet? And let's talk about this, you know, diabolical trinity that counterfeits the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's see what they're doing. Remember, we already talked about the 144,000 that are sealed. We've already talked about their activity on earth. We already talked about the fact that they're going to be hunted down one at a time. There are going to be many people saved during that time, but they're going to be killed for the cause of Christ. Now, there's going to be a time period here pretty soon where they're going to be forced to make a choice, to take the mark of the beast. And so a lot of this judgment that we're just seeing come one right after another here is happening in the midst of all these other things happening. But God is pouring out his judgment upon this earth. And so here we see that the principle of darkness increasing. And I don't think that that's just going to happen during the tribulation period. Folks, are you noticing that darkness is increasing now? I'm not talking about the days that are being shortened. I'm talking about the level of sinfulness, the level of satanic activity, the level of attacks against the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, the devil's taking the gloves off. It's getting serious. He knows he has but a short time. And we're going to see this increase and increase. Preachers that are preaching properly are preparing their people for persecution. It's not going to get easier to be a Christian. It's going to be harder. You know what? Not only is the world not wanting to embrace the holiness of God, the average born-again Christian don't want to embrace the holiness of God. And so things are getting more and more difficult, harder and harder. Persecution is going to increase, and we're going to see it, I think, in these last days. We will not have to go through the 7 years of tribulation, but don't think for a minute the church will not have to face some tribulation. And so we see this. And then we see the three woes introduced, verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel fly through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And we're going to see that there are woes that are being added along with and mixed in with the blowing of these trumpets. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like I got to take a breath. I mean, surely there's not more. Oh, yes, there is. Folks, we have had seven seals. Now we're into four trumpets, but God's not done yet. And you've got to realize, can you imagine what the headlines are going to read? Can you imagine what people are going to experience? These things are going to happen. What's the time frame between them happening? I don't know how spaced out they are, but I believe that these 24, if you count the three woes, 24 judgments will fall primarily in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which means if you do the math, they're happening with frequency. I think that something will hit the earth, and for 2 or 3 months, the world will try to adjust and try to figure it out and try to survive it, and then something else hits. And then another one comes a couple months later. This is not, let me just say this, I never know who's here, and I trust you all have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, but if you have not, please don't put off receiving Jesus Christ. I don't know why anybody would read this and say, you know what, I'm going to get saved one of these days, but I think I'll wait until next week. You know, Jesus could come today. There's nothing standing in the way of the rapture happening. I mean, Michael the archangel could be warming up on the trumpet, and Jesus could be reaching for the handle of the door, and the Father could be standing right now and looking at the Son and saying, in the next few minutes, it's time. And you know what? When that happens, that door closes. You know, it's like you say, preacher, some of this stuff just sounds like crazy stuff. Yeah, there was another guy that preached some crazy stuff. His name was Noah. And you know what? For 120 years, he preached. Building a boat and preaching, trying to get people to get on the boat. And everybody thought he was crazy. But I'm going to tell you something. When God said it's time and put those him and his family in there, and the Bible says, and the Lord shut the door. Okay, Noah didn't shut the door. The Lord shut the door. And I'm going to tell you, when the rain came, I'm going to tell you, everybody that laughed and scoffed and made fun and sat down at the bar every Friday and Saturday night, laughed at the crazy old man up on the hill making the boat, every one of them was pounding on the door of that ark. But guess what? God shut the door. I've often thought, what would it have been like to be Noah and his family? You know, they had the same human compassion any of us would have. But you know what? When God sets a deadline and God shuts a door, nobody opens that door. Wonder what they heard, the cries on the outside of that ark. And you know what? People are crying. And you see it, we'll see it. We already seen it once. We'll see it several times in the book of Revelation, where people are crying out. But you know what? They're not crying out in repentance. Matter of fact, when the vials begin to fall, And men, you would think if anything's going to cause mankind to repent, this will. The Bible says what they are screaming out is blasphemes against God. They won't come to repentance. Even in the midst of judgment, they blaspheme God. And it's a horrific thing. Let me see if we can cover these next two trumpets. They're more lengthy. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And I want you to use your imagination here again as best you can, because I think this is one of the most horrific of all of the judgments that's going to come. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. I may show you some of this. I was going to do it here, but there's another place in Revelation I want to show this to you. But I believe that hell is in the center of the earth. I believe that if I didn't bring the notes with me, but I believe I could read some verses and take about 3 or 4 minutes and show you that I don't just say that based on my opinion. I believe the Bible teaches that. But I believe that there are some things. If you'll remember, when a third of the part of the angels fell with Lucifer, that some of them was reserved for judgment in chains of darkness, reserved for judgment. Now, sometimes we think of, we read that, we think their judgment. But I'm not sure they were reserved for their judgment. I think they were reserved for this judgment. And I want you to think about that as I read this, because all of a sudden, an angel. And by the way, he got a key. It was given to him. Who has the key to death and hell? Jesus had the key. You know, if y'all don't have a key to the church and somebody wants in, you're going to come by and say, "Preacher, hey, could I borrow the key? Because you know I got a key to the church." And I think probably 78% of the church membership has a key to the church. So you wouldn't. But let's suppose there was only one key. Well, guess what? If you're going to get in the church, you're going to have to go find the guy that's got the key. Well, we've seen in the vision of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 that he had the keys of death and of hell. There's a reason. Because you know what? Jesus defeated death. When he was the first fruits of the resurrection, when he rose from the dead, then you know what? He took the key of death from Satan. And he has the key of hell because, watch this, God created hell. God created the hell, not for mankind, for the devil and his angels. And yet when man chose to sin, he's reserved his spot in hell unless he receives Christ to save. Jesus takes the key off the key ring, hands it to an angel and says, "Go open the bottomless pit." Now notice what comes out of it, verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, where is that? You think about this. I don't want us to go too far, but I'm going to tell you, somewhere there's a door. Somewhere on this earth there's a door. Somewhere there's a way to open up access to the bottomless pit. And notice what comes. First of all, there comes smoke out of the pit, out of a smoke of a great furnace. And you've gone by and seen these big smokestacks, and sometimes they're just billowing out. You know, and that's kind of the idea of this, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. But watch this, verse 7. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Where are they coming from? They're coming from where the rich man is. That's where they're coming. Oh, you think hell's a joke? Me and my buddies will go down there, we'll just have a big drinking party. There ain't no drinking in hell. You're going to be begging for a drop of water just like the rich man. There's no fun in hell. There's no partying. You laugh, scoff, say whatever you want to. You better open your King James Holy Bible to Luke chapter 16 and read what hell really is, because you can joke about it. There's no joking in hell. If they come out of that pit, that means they're in there now. Remember, he was crying. Watch this. He was crying, the rich man was, by reason of his torments. Okay, there's things in hell that we can't even imagine. There's things in hell that are indescribable. And so let that settle in on you. Well, Christians, we got to get serious again about this. We got to get serious about it. And so there's locusts come out. And it says, unto them were given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded then that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, why is that said? Because most of the time, locusts, what they do is they come and descend upon the plant life. These are demonic locusts. You know what? But only those men which have not the what? seal of God in their forehead. You know, God protects his people from judgment. God protects his people even in the tribulation period. Those 144,000, the people that are getting saved, he's protecting them. And so, which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, but the people who don't have that, look out. Now, what are these locusts going to do? By the way, the Bible gets very specific, gets very graphic here. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, if you've read up on this and researched this, and it's fresh in my mind because I did, but I'm going to tell you something. One of the most painful things that you can ever have happen to you is to have a scorpion sting you. I mean, they said the thing that they liken it into is like a third degree burn. Only in all of the pain that would be spread over the area of a third degree burn is focused in a needle point precision place on the body where that tail stings. One of the most painful things a man can experience. And in those days, verse 6, how horrible is the torment? How horrible is the pain? And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now this is really quite amazing, because people, the torment will be so bad, they'll be trying to take their own life, and God will not let them take their own lives. Death will flee from them. Now, if you aren't already convinced that you don't want to be here, let's just take a look at these scorpions, okay? Verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto... He said, preacher, how can somebody want to die and not be able to die? I mean, they jump up. Let's say they go up and get on top of a building and jump off of it. Yeah, and when they land, they're going to roll over and they're going to hurt even a little bit more. And then they're going to get up and brush themselves off because God's not going to let them die. That's impossible. You know what? When God decides that death isn't available, it's not available. For 5 months, it's not available. I think the first part of the tribulation period, our Bible will say, oh, all these people that died, how terrible, how horrible. Thank God I survived. And I think for these 5 months, they're going to wish that they were part of the ones that had died. And so look at the description of these. Verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. Are you picturing this? The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Can you imagine somebody capturing some of these? Some scientists, or let's get them under the microscope. Let's figure out if we can find a way to kill these things. And they're looking at this. It says that the shape of them were like unto horses prepared into battle. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like a gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. You remember a few years ago, what was it? And I'm not going to, it's not locust, but what's the other thing that comes in here? It starts with a C. What are they called?
Cicadas.
That's what I'm getting, okay. Remember when they came and visited our area when it's been a little bit while ago? I'd walk out on the front porch. You remember that sound they'd make? You could just hear them in the tree. Yeah. And I mean, I remember when we had the last outbreak of these, I actually preached on a Sunday morning out of this portion of Scripture. And I wanted to tell folks, you know what you're seeing, what's annoying you, what's everywhere you don't want them to be, and one of these days, if you're in the tribulation period, there's going to be something that makes this seem like nothing. But can you imagine walking out? Can you imagine the sound? Well, I'm going to go hide in a house. I'm going to go. You can imagine the sound of these things outside. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for the bus ministry. I thank God for gospel tracts. I thank God for a soul-winning church. I thank God. Listen, let's put our eyes on Jesus and let's focus on lost souls. Okay? Check out of your pursuit of the stupid. Check out. Get refocused on what we ought to be focused on and busy about what we ought to be busy on. And if people don't want to be busy or don't want to be focused on that, fine, let them go do their thing. But let's not lose our focus here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because this is real. This isn't a comic book. This isn't a joke. Okay, I don't understand folks that want to spend their life fighting against a church that's trying to win people and keep them from this. But if that's their choice, go do it. But I'm not losing focus here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? Every single person that gets saved doesn't have to face these things. It says in verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings, as it were, the sounds of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, again, you'd think to yourself at this point, verse 10, it can't get any crazier, it can't get any more demonic, it can't get any more terrifying. Then you read verse number 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Greek is Abaddon, but in the Greek, in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, folks, listen to me. There was a very powerful angel. I don't think one of the three archangels, but a very powerful angel that was put into the bottomless pit in chains of darkness reserved for the day of judgment. And a lot of times we read that, and again, we think, well, that means they're reserved there until they stand before God and are judged. They're already judged. This is the day of judgment. God reserves them. You know what he did? He took a portion of Satan's forces, demonic forces, and chained them into the bottomless pit. But during the tribulation period, click, open, go. And I don't think that's the only demonic forces that's going to come out of the bottomless pit. I'm going to tell you what I think, and I will tell you on the next trumpet what I think. I'll read it. We'll have enough time to read it, and then we'll let you dwell on it, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit more on it next Sunday. Verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes upon the hereafter. There is a visible world, and there is an invisible world. The visible creation and the invisible creation. Folks, the invisible creation is just as real as the visible creation, only they are invisible. But just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. The devil's real. He's not a joke. He's not a made-up thing. Demons are real. Hell's real. Heaven's real. There's a lot of things you've never seen in this world. Angels are real. God's real. There's a lot of things that you've never seen, you've never laid your eyes on, that are just as real as the things you can look at and see in front of you. And we are getting a window into this. Now, I'll read the rest of the chapter, and again, that's about all the time we're going to have. But the sixth angel sounds, and I want you to imagine. I'm going to give you probably two different viewpoints on this or some things, and I do understand that the prophecy of Daniel, there's no doubt that there are going to be armies that come from Russia, there's going to be armies that come from different parts, and they're going to invade Israel. I get all that. But I want you to understand, I want you to just read it and listen to it the way it is laid out here. Sometimes I think we're working so hard to force an interpretation that we're just not reading what it says. But if the bottomless pit was open and these things came out, let me just float the idea that the army we're going to talk about could be coming from the same place. Verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had a trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Now, where were these four angels bound? In the great river Euphrates. They were prepared. They were chained there, kept there, and prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year for a specific day in the future. God held them there and was going to unleash them to slay the third part of men. Now, folks, the devil's the murderer. He's a liar, but the Bible, the same verse that says he's a liar and the father of it says he's a murderer. And I'm going to tell you something. If he's given his way and God lets him loose and gives him full sway, he always murders. He always kills. He's into destruction. And God's taken some of his demonic angels off their leashes and given them power to do what they've always wanted to do. Now, let me just keep reading. I may stop commenting and just read the rest. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for a month, and an hour, a day, a month, a year, for to slay the third part of men. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto what? Serpents. And they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, which they that they should not worship devils and idols of stone and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now here we see these, I think it's just interesting, we see these locusts and they're unleashed, and we don't question the fact that these are demonic in nature and they came from the bottomless pit. But yet we see these four angels that are unleashed, by the way, these four angels in command of an army bound into the river Euphrates. You know what? This very well could be a description of a demonic army. A demonic army that's been reserved and now is being unleashed upon a Christ-rejecting world. Okay, you want to worship the devil? You want to take his mark? You want to believe the false prophet? You want Satan? You didn't want God, remember that? You want Satan? Okay, boom, I'll let you have all of him. Yeah. Now, folks, remember this. The devil's a liar.
Yes, sir.
He's a liar. And people have given themselves over to turning their back against a holy God and in pursuit of demonic activity. And you play around with that stuff. And you get into the study of the scriptures. And I'll tell you what, it's an eye-opening experience. We don't really have time to give as much comment on that as I'd like. But I was going to say we'll pick up next week. We won't pick up next week because me and my wife Thursday, we're going to take vacation. And we're going to be gone for a couple weeks. So I just left you with the locusts and the wild demonic army till then, so good luck with that for the next 2 weeks. And I don't want to discourage you. There's going to be a chapter up ahead where there's a white horse that comes in the clouds, and the Bible says him that sat on it. You know what it says on his chest? The Word of God. And listen, there's a good ending to this story. You want to be sure that you're coming with him from heaven and you're not here on earth having to suffer these things. Boy, I mean this. If it would help, and if I knew you were lost and I thought it would help, I'd get on my knees in front of you today and beg you to be saved. But you know what? If you won't listen to God beg you, because the Holy Spirit does, he pleads with men to be saved. If you won't listen to God, you're not going to listen to me. And I mean, God himself calls and calls and calls, and he's put all the warnings in the book. I mean, there's no way that we can stand one of these days with any excuse for not being saved rather than the fact that we just chose not to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that these things would be fastened upon our minds and our thoughts, dear God. And Lord, help us to be busy winning souls. Help us to be busy, Lord, preaching the gospel. Lord, may we not be distracted by the foolishness of this world and Lord, the carnality of many. And I pray, dear God, in these last days, there just needs to be a remnant, Lord, that's not shaken, not blown around with every wind of doctrine, and not looking for an excuse to get out, but a reason to get in. I pray, Lord, that you just help us to roll up our sleeves. Fall program's coming. We're going to do what we always do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to work hard in the months ahead. And I pray, dear God, that we'd continue to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.